episode. It's a filler filler 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 episode.
Hey everybody, welcome back to Three Dads Talking About Anime. I'm Chest, aka Chest. Whom else is with me tonight?
I'm Cole.
And that's it.
Ugh, come on!
Like always. I mean, to be fair, this is the third recording of an evening, which is a kind of a last-minute decision, and I'm okay with that. But we did lose one of our members.
Wow, way to just call us out. Now people are be like, oh, they're not even at their best.
They don't know what time it is. We could have started at 5 p.m. You never know.
This is the third one, whatever.
If you started at 5 p.m., our previous two recordings were 45 minutes each. It's still quite early.
Yeah, I guess. That's
only an hour and a half. I'd be like, it's 6:30 right now. You never know. They don't know that?
Yeah.
They don't know that it's 11:30 p.m. for me and 10:30 p.m. for you?
Yeah. No, that's because I'm on the better time zone.
That's the time zone I used to be on. How you doing there, Colbster?
I
haven't called you that in a while.
That's true. Well, we haven't talked much in a while.
That's true. Only every week. What happened when I visited? I was like, I told your kids, I was like, yeah, I talked to your dad, and I was about to say every week, and Kim was like, every day. She's like, he talks to dad probably more than dad talks to anybody else except for me. It's like, that's fair.
There's no probably about it. It's absolutely true. Absolutely true.
Yep. The anime podcast text chat is strong. Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah, I'm okay.
That's kind of
how I'm always feeling during our fillers. I don't know if you just catch me on bad days, but that's true. Okay.
I'm just going to go cry after this.
Yeah.
Well, I hope this filler is more fun and uplifting, because I've actually wanted to do this filler for a while. literally ever since I first saw the show, before we were even doing a podcast, I was like, I want to do this filler. Premonition? Prophecy? I don't know. One of the two.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah. But this, so we're doing, I'm just going to kick it off the bat. We're doing Skull-Faced Bookseller.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is a phenomenal. It's way better than it should be. Let's just put it that way. If you told me I was going to rewatch multiple times an anime that's a short nonetheless, each episode is like what, 15 minutes?
Like 11.
11 10 minute episodes, people. 10 minute episodes. There's only 12 of them. You can blast through this whole thing in 2 hours. It's a movie. And if you told me that I was going to love this show so much that I rewatch it multiple times for fun, I just wouldn't have believed you. And here we are.
I don't like how you said that. You said it's so much better than it should be, but you're right.
I guess. Yeah.
You're right. I just, it sounds so bad in my ear because it's so good.
It is so good. It's, yeah.
So
I think it's like,
right. It just kind of hurt to hear it.
Well, I mean, if you show the cover to someone and you're like, this is about a manga bookseller and his coworkers, like,
who's a skeleton?
Yeah, like, that's not going to sell. Like, it just doesn't describe accurately the humor. It's a very humorous show. I think, like, for example, Ben is not going to enjoy it that much, at least at present, wherever we are in his anime journey. He's not as big on anime humor. But when I told you about it, you kind of threw it on the backlog. So to my point, you kind of saw it and you're like, okay, yeah, I'll watch this one day. As you know, Chess recommended it. And then you did watch it and you were like, what in the world? Why did I wait so long to watch this? So I think that proves my point. You loved it immediately. I remember you texted me and you're like, this is amazing.
It was within the first episode.
Yeah.
I was laughing so hard.
So, I mean, literally, we've already given a synopsis. The show is loosely based around real life events of this manga artist, because it's a manga. He did a manga about working in a bookstore, predominantly selling manga. It also sells other books, but it predominantly sells manga.
His department is comics.
Is manga, yeah. He actually is in charge of American comics, which is comes up and is really funny because evidently American comics are very heavy compared to manga. Oh man, yeah. So it's not even like there's too much to talk about because this is kind of a slice of life show in a lot of ways.
Too much to talk about.
It is. It's kind of like where to start, maybe. So it's very much slice of life. You literally are just getting little episodic glimpses of his little adventures. Probably some of them are summarized versions of multiple interactions that are the same.
Oh yeah. Conglomeration? No, that's not right.
I know what you're trying to say. You almost said cacophony, but that's not it.
He's either picking just the highlights or he's mixing a bunch of memories together to make one.
I think it's the very first part. So each episode is two parts and they might be longer or shorter depending on the type. Yeah. So I think it's part one of episode one is all of those characters that are requesting, you know, like we're looking for this, blah, blah, blah. And so there's no way that all those people walked in on the same day. So this is like him remembering this type of person came in the bookstore all the time. And he just tells it all in one episode. Like they all came in at the same time.
Yeah.
So fun fact, Colb, I think you asked me this already, but I haven't reminded you cause I wanted to talk about it on air. So one of the first characters we meet is someone that comes and like asks him, they're a foreigner and they're asking him, do you have this book? And they hold a phone and he freaks out, which is part of the best thing is we get a lot of inner monologue on this show. And so you get his whole inner voice freaking out. And then it's him like calmly responding and like being the retail salesman. And it hits him freaking out because he's like, oh, no, I know the pose, the phone. He's going to ask a question. It's going to be in English. This is terrible. And then he like responds best he can. I was that customer in Japan because I went to a used bookstore, which it was a pretty good used bookstore. It sold a lot of books. But they had a large manga section. And I was looking for you a comic. I was looking for Vinland Saga for you, and I took my phone and used my little data and found Vinland Saga and just walked up and in English was like, Vinland Saga. And they were so polite and so helpful and literally like left me at the counter. Like went and talked to some people and then they went and looked to make sure that there was a selection at the shelves. And then they came back. Then they took me to the shelf. They did not have the one I wanted. So I didn't get it for you. They only had later books and I was like, you know, they didn't have one. So I didn't buy it, but they were very hospitable and like over the top on making sure that I was taken care of. But it was exactly like this show. Identical, like you could tell they were talking about me as I'm walking up to the counter and like waiting in line. They're like, there's a foreigner and he's gonna ask us a question. And they're like sideways looking at me like, we see you in line, we know you're about to ask us for something and you don't speak Japanese. So it was great. It was living that moment from the customer's end. Yeah,
that's funny.
It was pretty fun. I laughed a lot rewatching this again.
You should have recorded your whole.
I know.
You should have recorded your whole experience in there.
I know. It was fun. Like perusing all the manga was intimidating, actually, because it was so much of it.
Lost in manga.
Yeah, lost in manga. Anyway, so that was fun. But anyway, about the show, I know there's a lot of variety in this show. But I was just going to ask you, just open-endedly, what are some of the things you enjoy more? Like, when you go to watch this show, you're consistently laughing at or you're consistently enjoying?
Any time he has to speak English is so funny. The main actor who plays Honda-san is he's so good, whether he's mm-hmm. Japanese or he's speaking English. Like, so when the Brazil guy asked him a question of like, what was the question? Oh, why is Japanese manga printed in black and white and American comics in color? And so like the first thing he says is like, I don't know.
that's his inner monologue. Yeah.
and then he starts speaking in English, and like the title or like the crossbar says like, let's bullcrap English time.
Yep. And there's so many subtitles right. that pop up in this show, like explaining what is happening. Like, he doesn't actually know. That's not true. So there's a lot going on the screen. There's either them speaking something really funny, but also like captions popping up all over the place. It's a very unique show. But continue. Yes. Yeah. Sorry.
Well, those are my favorite moments. Whenever he has to speak English to somebody. Interactions with foreigners are so good. And yeah, they're my favorite episodes, those ones.
One of my favorite aspects is I love the other staff. So like, they all have their quirks and like different things. So when you get interactions, like, and sometimes it's just background stuff, like he'll be talking, but you see in the background, they're like, really anime exaggeration, like shaking a person like back and forth, like, how could you let this happen? And it's just like, it's just as a show, it's so exaggerated. It's like the Gintama, like it's exaggerated that it's hilarious because it's just over the top going for broke humor of like, nothing is going to be taken seriously in this show. It's a little more on topic than Gintama, but it's very funny.
And you had said, like, from, I forget who you were talking to, but they said, anime is like the viewer living vicariously through the characters, right? You said?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
That's like, so like, I bet all these interactions were very muted, very, you know, formal, like
probably
yours.
So subdued.
But then this is how they were feeling and they can't express that. So he just vomited it into his manga and then which turned into an anime. And then everything is so exaggerated.
Well, it's true, actually, because when obviously this is an anime character and this is a real life clerk that was helping me. But the clerk was so like, you know, he would bow to me and he was very smiley, very, very friendly. Wasn't like he was stoic, but he was very quiet, very reserved, like bowing and just like showing me so much respect. As a client, as a customer in Japan, you feel so respected. It's very amazing. Hats off to Japanese retail, because American retail, you don't get respected.
It's not always that way.
And me and Colb have worked in retail, so we know this from both ends of the spectrum. But it is so funny in the show because when he's doing, you know, he's the clerk responding to me, his arms are like going everywhere and like he's pointing, like wildly gesturing, like, well, maybe it's because color is so heavy and like he's trying to vomit out English to this guy, and the guy is like, oh, he's Brazilian, so he doesn't even speak perfect English in the show. It's like a very Brazilian accented English as well. And he's just like, that makes perfect sense. And then he ends up being in there to ask for directions. And he's like, what? That's why you came. You could have just asked for directions. Why did you put me through this? And he's like, yeah, I just need to know where this is. And he shows him the map on the GPS. Oh man, it's just such a silly show. I love it. I do love an aspect of like, so they bring in, they'll have these extra clips at the end where he's talking to his editor, and like I love those moments too because it's him talking about the theme that he's just dissected in the show, and the editor's giving him little feedback, and it just brings to life like the realness of it. Also happened right at the beginning. At the very beginning, he asks like his family, like, what do you think about booksellers? Right, yeah. And they're like giving the stereotypes, and his dad is like, don't get offended, but they're really boring. and it's just like he brings a lot of real life in addition to his characters in the show. And like all the real life characters usually either have a different head, like the manager's a cat. Is he a cat? I can't remember.
He's a seal. Oh, no,
he's
wait.
A seal.
The manager or
the editor? Sorry, yeah, the editor is a seal. But like his family just has bags over their heads,
right?
Because he never shows like a normal person's face if they're a main character. If they're a guest, it'll show their face,
right?
But never like a main character, yeah, or a representation of a real person. Which was really Now I do have a question. So we both have worked in retail. You worked in our college days, maybe more, but you worked in our college days at Shopko. And my family owns a retail hardware store. Yeah, RIP. And I have worked there almost all of my life at various points of my life. So I have lived retail. How was this experience for you watching it, seeing I mean, it's in Japan, it's totally different, there's a lot of humor, but it's portraying retail. Like there's one episode where I was gonna bring this up as an example. The episode where they're stuffing the extra bookmarks. And they're like, okay, you got to turn them around backwards because it's a special edition for this anime adaption. And if they can see the character, they're just going to buy their character. They're not going to just buy the book. And as you know, as a customer, you're like, ah, come on, just give me the bookmark. But as a seller, you're like, this makes sense. We need to sell all of our product. We don't need to just sell one. But all the customers call and they're furious. Because they don't just flip the bookmark around and see just this simple little detail, just flip it around, and their faces immediately change like angelic, and they're like, "Oh, thank you so much!" And oh, it was right there, and you're like, oh, "If you just turn the bookmark around, you wouldn't look like a demon's face right now yelling at me." And I resonated with that. I was like, "There's times where you're selling something, and you're like, if you had just read the label." Literally the label of this product, which is all I'm going to do for you. I'm going to read the label. You wouldn't be mad at me and you wouldn't be confused. So do you resonate with any, not just that thing, but in this show, do you have moments where you're like, oh man, yeah, I resonate with that.
Well, we didn't have a lot of different languages coming into Shopko. It was mostly old ladies. The biggest thing that I remembered from my days was like the late shipments of product that would come in, and you'd be like, oh, wait, the truck is finally here. Now we got to quickly get this stuff out. And it's like a huge panic, and everyone has to make sure it's all organized properly and on the shelves before you leave. Otherwise we're staying late and no one wants to stay late. Those kind of things more stuck out to me as relatable. Cause I was like, that's how it was. The stupid truck got there at 8:30, the store closes at 9. Now we got to get everything off of that thing.
Yep. And on the shelves for tomorrow.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah, it was awful. So, yeah, that stuff really stuck out.
So you related to like the back end, cuz that's something we see in the show a lot, is the backspace of he actually highlights it. He's like, "I bet you've always wondered what happens in a bookstore." And then he like walks to the back and it's all his coworkers and stuff. Yeah. Oh, that was funny.
Yeah. Good stocking issues where he's like, oh, we're out of this thing. And you go back like, I can't find it. And then they find at the end of the day, like the whole shelf is full of that book. And they're like, oh, there they are.
There's multiple episodes where they're like, they need a specific book and it's buried amongst a mountain of other boxes. And you're like, we got to open these all of them. We got to open them all right now because this customer wants this book. Oh, it's so good. It's so good. So that, yeah, obviously we have a lot of personal relatability to this show. We like it as anime fans because it has hilarious humor. We can relate to it from the retail side. If you're going to recommend it though, like to an anime watcher, how does it rate for you in anime shows in general? Does that make sense? Like just as an anime, like, objectively, let's put it that way.
Oh man, if you understand the anime humor, I think it's top notch. You will laugh, even if you've never worked in retail. Like the exaggeratedness of the yelling, the, you know, not violence, but the over-exuberance of actions for such a small problem is so funny. So, yeah. I mean, it's, as a comedy, I think it's 10 out of 10. Beautiful. Yeah. And it's not, it's nowhere near a Demon Slayer or, you know, a AOT, because they're completely different shows and whatever, but I think you have to watch this if you're
an anime fan.
Yeah. Like, it's not one of those, you can't call yourself an anime fan if you haven't seen this show, but if you are an anime fan, watch this one, because it's so funny.
Yeah. I would agree that it's so short. It's not a big commitment.
You can get past it real quick.
It's 10 minute episodes, and there's 12 of them. That's actually a fault that I have. That's the reason it's lower on my list. I wish that there was more, maybe not longer episodes. I like that it's 10 minutes.
Yep.
But I wish there was a season 2. But, you know, I have a lot of respect for setting out to do a project and feeling like you finished it.
Mm-hmm.
That's fine with me. That's really fine. Don't, so, you know, pros and cons. Pros and cons.
The desire to want more is not always a bad thing.
No.
Because... No. They might give you more, and it might be way lower than you expect. Like, your expectations are so high, and they go under that, and you're like, oh, wasn't that good? I wish I didn't get it. So, no, I think it's a solid end of a series.
Yeah. It doesn't necessarily, I mean, it's very slice of life. It's a very comedic slice of life, but it is a slice of life. It doesn't have a plot. It just kind of ends. Because it's just following his life.
Yeah, just like any retailer would tell you, my life just kind of is this.
Yeah, and it's kind of like a career in retail. Like, nobody really sets out to be a retail floor salesman. And so when you quit your job, no one's like, why'd you quit at Shopko, Cole? They're like, well, it's just time to move on. And that's kind of how it is. Like, you just move on. Like,
unless you
probably
own the store.
I'm the anomaly that's like, well, you never quit a family business, so here I am again helping out because my dad needed someone to cover today. Like,
right,
I'm the anomaly. The people that come in, like the people that he hires when they're newer are usually like either recently into college or like the end of high school, and then they stick around through the college years and then they go on to something different. And that's usually how it goes. And there's a few people that stick through, and they might be more of a manager or something like that. But they, you know, like the normal retail salesman, you know, it's a younger person they're in a transitional period of life. One of them, there's a girl I grew up with. She was working there and she just got married. So she, you know, moved on down to where her husband is stationed. He's in the military. So she moved on, and they were super sad she left because she was really good. But transition of life. So... That's very typical of retail. It's like, I'm here for a reason, and I might enjoy it, but I'm probably going to move on.
Yeah. And even if you do stick with it and stay there for a long time, like you said, you either get promoted, but either way, your life, your working life stays the same. The job doesn't change that much. The products may change. Your policies may change a little, but your day in, day out is
it's routine. If anything, it gets worse. Like the negative stereotypes are more present than you would care for. Let's put it that way. The little joys get fewer and far between, and you appreciate them when they come. So the fact that we have a whole 12 episodes of humor about retail really probably speaks to the length of time he stayed in retail, would be my assumption.
Right. Yeah.
Like, this is not 1 year's worth of content. This is multiple years, would be my guess, worth of content. Yeah.
That's fine. I will say, though, this show, whenever I watch it, I'm like, man, maybe I want to be a bookseller.
That's a good ad right there. Oh, I laugh. It does make, you know what it makes me love? It doesn't make me want to be a bookseller. So we were just on a little getaway trip, me and Powell, just the two of us, which was nice. And we went to a little local bookstore, which was perfect timing for this episode. And they had all the little like handmade cards and the staff recommendations that he highlights in this show. Like, he's like, you know, we're not like, it's not flashy, but But I really love making these handmade cards. I really love making the little cutouts and the pop-ups and like staff recommendation cards and stuff like that. And they comment on that. They're like, they make a joke out of it, of course, but they're like, man, Hana, you really put a ton of effort into this. And he's like, he is like a lot of paper or something. He's like, oh, it's all the company's paper, so it's no big deal. And they're like, that's not what I was commenting on.
Yeah.
And so it made me think of that. Like, I go in this local bookstore and I commented to pals, like, you know, I wish we had more of a local bookstore. I'm sure we do somewhere, but I just don't attend one enough to buy, like, I'm not a regular at the local bookstore. And I kind of wish I was sometimes, because it was like, oh, this is fun. Like, it is fun to get to know the staff and see their recommendations and be like, oh, that's cool. You like this book. Why do you like that book? And if you go to a Barnes & Noble, you're just not going to get the same, you know, catering to, let's put it that way, as a local place.
Yep.
But yeah,
I agree.
Do you have any highlights from the show? I know you've mentioned anytime he speaks English, but any specific type of like scenes or comedy bits or
there's a lot in my mind, and I'll try to make comment on just a few of them. So apparently boy love books are a huge thing.
Evidently.
Oh my goodness. According to the show, they've taken over. So that's episode one. He brings that up.
Yeah.
With all
the girls,
those the girls
that are obsessed. What's it called? Yao? I can't pronounce it.
They call them BL books. So boy.
Right.
Boy
that's what
love,
they call it. But there's a genre. The anyway. Yeah. Boy love books.
I don't know the term. And then, so they bring it up that first episode. And then that gay couple that comes in.
Yeah.
They come to Honda and they're like, hey, and they speak English, of course.
Yeah.
So they're saying this in English. Do you have any erotic manga? And Honda's so uncomfortable, like, oh gosh, I don't know what to do. And so he leads him to, like, obviously the inappropriate section.
Right. The erotic section. Because there is one.
And he's like, ah, here you go. And they're like, oh, sorry. And then they hold hands. Do you have any erotic gay manga?
Yeah.
And they're saying in this hilarious English accent or English tone. And I'm like, oh my goodness. I was cracking up so much with that, because the way they were speaking.
It was a really good scene.
In Honda's.
He wants to meet their expectation, but he doesn't know what to do. And then maybe they'll just like boy love manga. And so he points them there, and sure enough, they do. They love it. And he's like, oh, good. I was able, because his whole desire is to be like an amazing salesman for the customer's sake, like in the show. Right. It comes across very strongly, so that, you know, this gay couple's there, or the girls that want the boy love books, or the foreigner that's looking for his daughter's book that's a super inappropriate book. Or just that, you know, there's this one foreigner who comes in and he's like, he has a long list and he's like, oh my gosh, like he's looking for all these books. And he's like, oh, we have all of them. And he's like, I'll take them all, please. And he's like, he's like, you're gonna break your arms. But he always like goes above and beyond. So he's like freaking out, and he's always more uncomfortable. He's always uncomfortable that he can't feel like he can fulfill the desire. That's what it is mm-hmm. the issue. He's like, I'm not going to be able to help this person. That's going to be a problem. So when he finally like lands on, like, for the gay couple, like there's a boy love section and they're like, oh, this is perfect. They're like, oh, good. Okay. I made it through that interaction. And then the next person comes. He's like, oh no. Okay. Another interaction. Here we go. Whew. And it doesn't matter what it is. It, like, there was one old lady and she was like, I need a recommendation for, or was it an old man, for his grandson who didn't grow up in Japan, but is fluent in Japanese and grew up in France. Yeah, and so he has to go to the back room for this granddaughter. It's a granddaughter. And he's like, well, lives in France, speaks Japanese, looking for action items like this, blah, blah, blah. And they're just like rattling off suggestions. And he's like writing them all down furiously and like, oh, okay, I'll go just suggest this. And then that happens a couple times. And That was one of my favorite moments. He's rattling off. He's like remembering another time. And like, he's like, needs to be short. Needs to be this genre. Needs to be like this. Self-contained story, blah, blah, blah. And then like the guy ends up buying like Berserk, which is like a massively sprawling manga. He's like, why did he even ask? And he's like, I don't know. It's one of them. And then like off script or off camera, he's like, and that's one of the mysteries of the customer. Is just like, you never know what they're gonna end up deciding. But oh
yeah,
he's just a great character. He's genuinely like a hilarious character.
I'm debating whether I need to put him in my top 10.
I'm thinking about it. It had been a while since I rewatched it, and now that I've rewatched it, I think the show's probably staying. I just revisited where it is in my tops list.
Yeah, it's hard to judge it.
It's very hard
in the list. That's
yeah. Well, because I'm looking at what's above it. We'll get to that in a second. And it's just like, as much as I love it, it still is only 12 episodes, 10 minutes each. And there's something to be said for that. But again, like, there's other shows that made me feel probably more, even though this show made me laugh way more than these other shows.
Yeah.
So.
Right. So as a comedy, it does its job so well, but it doesn't make
me. Oh. It's not in a comedy list, top five.
Right. Exactly.
Top but three.
They do throw in some like heartfelt moments. I'm thinking of the episode where a very well-known author dies.
Yes.
And like their sales rep guy, he's like, he was right on it. The news happened. So he ordered a bunch of their books and sent them to the store. And like this old man comes in like, hey, I just heard my heart's broken that this author died. Do you have any of his books? And Honda's like, wow, how did our sales guy know? So he was like on top of it, like, yeah, we do have this. And so the old man was super happy and grateful that he got this book from the author that he loved who died. And I'm like, oh, that's, it wasn't like a heart wrenching moment, but it was really sweet. It was a sweet moment.
It's kind of what you want in retail is you just want to be able to help the customer, and you have to suffer through the customers that are rough and like rude, but you get those customers that are like really nice. And you're just a retail store. Like at the end of the day, they could just order it off Amazon, but they came to your store and you want to help them. And so when they're really nice and you have a story that you connect with that person, like I mean, my family's store is a hardware store, but I had two guys come in one time. They were literally buying paint. There's no emotionality with paint. But this guy starts telling me that like, as a kid, he grew up walking down the street with his dad to this hardware store, and he would buy candy at the front and then they would walk home. And I'm like, yeah, I mean, we're the oldest hardware store in Greensboro at this point. And he grew up coming here. That's super cool. So I talked to him for like 15 minutes, just about how much he, you know, remembered about the store. And like, he, you know, I'm the grandson of the owner, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, oh, you're a hardened son, blah, blah, and all this stuff. And so like those moments are the good moments in retail where you have a story that you connect to a person. And so that guy coming in and buying his, you know, this deceased author's book that brought back a lot of memories for this guy is like, yeah, that's the good side of retail. You do have those moments that are really nice.
Right. The show's not a tearjerker by any means, but
not even close.
No, but he shows the
that's
good
like
side.
Probably a 20-second interaction. Oh, it's good. Well, I do want to know where it ranks for you.
Oh my goodness, I should look that up.
Yeah, I mean, I can go first because I have my list open.
I didn't. I should have thought of that.
I did think of it, but I didn't tell you because you were already talking.
Before you do go with that, oh no, where is it? Oh my goodness, that's wrong. I gotta change that.
That's okay. Take your time.
The animation is like limited, very limited. It's almost like a 2D puppet show. Like characters' mouths just kind of open up and close. Action is
very unique.
Yeah, it's not. It's not animation, really. It's more of just like still images that they, you know.
It's like the animated manga. Like they manga panels, which is probably intentional.
Right. And it works for this show. There's another right. show that I saw that was a comedy that they did the same thing, and it was awful. I hated it so much. It is actually,
what's it called?
It's actually in my failure list.
Oh, well, let me just go there. I'm gonna try
it was, to skip. It was recommended to me by someone. I'm not going to say their name because they thought it was
Street Girls.
Yes.
I've never even heard of that.
They recommended it to me because they thought it was so funny. It's about a Yakuza gang. Three of their underlings make the boss angry, so he makes them get sex changes so they become an idol group.
Okay.
It's terrible. It's one of the worst things I've ever seen in my life. And they do
Where
this.
Did you watch it?
It's on Netflix, I think.
Ah.
Again, recommended to me. So I'm like, okay, someone recommended to me, I'll watch it. I watch maybe half of it. I did my 5-episode thing. I'm like, this is terrible. So they did that same thing where it's not animation. They don't, the characters aren't moving as if a normal show. It's got that panel, like as if you made an actual manga page move around a little bit. So it didn't work there, but it works in this one. And like you said, it was intentional and they did a good job with it in this one.
Interesting. Fascinating. I probably will not watch it since that's your recommendation.
Don't watch it.
Yeah. Well, I can tell you where I land with Skullfaced.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Well, I have 71 shows at present. And right now, I might take some time to sit with it some more, but I'm pretty confident in this. It's at 32. So it's above half.
Sure.
Because 70 would be, what, 35? So it's above half, and it's in the green, which is great. Few, no issues. I hesitate to put it in blue. It's below works such as Cells at Work, Mega Bloks, Odd Taxi, Parasite, AY. These are just these aren't in an order. Chainsaw Man, Moriarty, Hell's Paradise, and then below any of the blue ones and such. So, like, there's a part of me that wants to put it in blue and be like, this is near perfect. But at the same time, I'm like, is that hype? That's probably a little hype. Emotional roller coaster hype for me. Yeah. So, at most, it could be up in the low 20s, maybe. There's an argument there. But I'm okay where it's at. It's about a middle of the tiers for me. It's actually quite high in the tiers. But it's middle in the numbering system. There's a lot of shows that could go underneath it. Let's put it that way.
Right.
It could stay at 30 and my show list get longer and that would have more of an impact. Mm. Basically.
Okay.
If that makes sense.
It does.
Yeesh. What about you?
I might have to rethink my list. So it depends on how I'm looking at it. If I'm looking at it as a emotional moments or, you know, the budget, like overall great shows, those are usually at the top. But if I'm looking at it as, did they accomplish what they set out to do? It's so much higher. So I'm looking at it right now. It's at 40. It's at 44 out of 84. So I'm like, that's not right. So I have to change that because I think one, it accomplished what it set out to do. Would I watch it again? Yeah. Absolutely. Would I watch it again after that rewatch? Yes. This is my second or third time going through it, and I still want to watch it again. So that means it's got to be higher. So I might.
I have a guess where it would be for you.
I might put it in the 20s. It might be.
I was definitely picturing it getting up to 29.
Yeah,
that was my guess.
Above 29, I think I would put it above Hunter x Hunter. Fairy Tail's gonna flip back and forth. I don't know where that's at. I might put it underneath Sword Art Online Season 1.
So 26. Yeah. Okay. I mean, that would have been my guess for you.
Because if someone's like, "Hey, do you want to rewatch?" Let's see, what's one?
Yeah, that's.
You want to rewatch?
Really tough.
Do you want to rewatch not fairy tale, let's go with Goblin Slayer. I'd be like, I'll watch it with a friend or two, maybe.
Maybe.
Then they'd be like, do you want to rewatch Honda-san Bookseller? I'd be like, yes, absolutely. Let's do it right now. So I feel like...
See, and you know what this is gotta be taken
into account.
It's kind of that... So, like when we had our anime get-together for the podcast where we didn't watch any anime. Right. Where we got together in Ohio, what did we watch? We watched hilarious feel-good comedies.
Mm-hmm.
That feel-good's a loose term. Hilarious comedies. Right. 80s comedies. And we might have said, you know, I could see us sitting down and purposely watching King Arthur. You'd be like, you still haven't seen it.
Right.
But it would be like, let's sit down and watch this.
There's a reason. There's a reason for us to watch that specific one.
I think Honda-san fits in here.
Yeah.
At almost any point would someone say, do you watch Honda-san? You'd be like, yes. 10 minutes. Hilarious. Let's do it. At the right time, someone might say, do you want to rewatch Parasite? And you'd be like, yeah. But if you're committed and we're going to like do it on a weekly basis.
Yeah. Other shows
I think that's the difference. It's a context thing. And that's why it's staying where it is for me is like, I agree with you. This is probably one of the best examples of a show set out to do something and it did it. It's not huge, it's not flashy, but it really did. Set out to show what retail life is like in a bookstore and it did that well. It's just not going to be everyone's cup of tea. It certainly is mine though.
True.
And it is very rewatchable, but that's not because it's the best anime show. It's just because the type of show and genre that it is made to be rewatchable. Would be my point. So like if you're feeling like it should be higher, but it's not, I don't think that's a bad thing. I think that's constantly the pitfall of comedies. Comedies don't always, some of them knock it out of the park, but they don't always have the depth that the higher ranked stuff does. You know what I mean?
I do know what you mean. That's, we've talked about it before.
Yeah.
Like comedies are hard to rank, but you will watch them over and over.
They're hard to rank.
And you will always laugh at movies that you find funny.
Which for us too is Skullface Bookseller.
Absolutely.
Yep. Mo, do you have any final thoughts?
No, I don't. Unless we just keep going scene by scene. I didn't even talk about the training thing that he goes to, where he goes to that.
That's so funny.
You'll find a moment in every episode where you will just laugh out loud and make your wife and your kids think you're crazy.
Yep.
Because you're just laughing at your phone.
If you like anime humor in any way, shape, or form, I would basically say just give it a shot. I think if you can watch two episodes, just two, I guarantee you'll find something funny. I think you'll find something funny in one, but... Watch two.
Same.
Watch 20 minutes. That's one regular episode of something. Just watch 20 minutes and see if you enjoy it. Again, asterisk, if you enjoy anime humor, watch 20 minutes of Skullface Bookseller and then come back and tell us that you didn't enjoy it. Because I'm willing to bet that 95% of the people out there will say they did.
Yep.
Even 99.
Ooh, that's a high number, but I agree with you.
Yep, that's good. Well, yeah, I mean, the thing about continuing to talk is just, I'm just going to keep saying, please watch this show. So,
yeah. And I'm just going to keep thinking of scenarios that are in the show to read. So
we'll set out to do what we set out to do, which is make you want to watch this show.
Yeah.
This has been the most enjoyable filler for me personally.
Do you say that every time we do a new filler?
No,
are you talking about,
legitimately, like the rewatch. Like when I was thinking of a filler to do, I was like, so we did like Psycho Pass as a filler. That for me is a very awesome filler because I really like Psycho Pass, but I didn't set out like the thought of rewatching all of Psycho Pass right now would be like,
it's daunting and
that'd be
you might be like, ugh.
Yeah, it's a heavy show. Yeah. So, but if you were like, hey, you want to do another episode on Honda-san? I'd be like, yeah, why not? Well, let's do that in a month and I'll rewatch it. that'd be great. like, we'll bring Gene on and we'll do it again and see what he thinks. Like, yeah, sure, I'm up for that. So we won't do that. There's not enough.
Yeah,
there's enough content, but there's not enough content, so we won't do that. But yeah, I loved rewatching it. I'll rewatch it again. It'll probably be one of my most rewatched animes by the time
my
life has ended. Yeah. So go watch the show. Go watch the show, everybody. In the meantime, we're going to get back to our normal programming, I guess. I don't know when this episode's going to come out, but who knows what you've just listened to, and who knows what you're going to hear next week. Hopefully there's been involved, not just me and Gold.
Agreed.
Yep. But thanks for listening in on Three Dads talking about anime.
What do you get when you add 2 + 1?
You get 3 dads talking about anime.
What do you get when 3 guys love anime?
You get 3 dads talking about anime.
What do you get when those 3 guys love
guys start having kids,
children, dads, and so
become fathers
and each have kids separately? Went on the each didn't play separate house. Ways.
What happens?
So
you get 3 dads talking about anime.
Three dads talking about anime.